Everybody, it's your boy Rail back with another review, man. Yo, this is Power Book 3, Raising Kanan Season 3, Episode 3. Damn, that's a lot of threes. Power Book 3, Season 3, Episode 3. Okay, it's the three episode. It's the chance episode. Chance is such a trash. Anyway. Support Chicago. Anyway, man, salute to all those in the Discord gang, them, those listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and of course you, the viewer, here on YouTube. Welcome on in. Come on in. This episode, we're just going to get straight to it. I got a lot coming for y'all, man. Christmas, if you celebrate it, is coming, and Rail is about to drop nothing but content. Some oldies but goodies. I'm just about to bring it all to you, so we about to get this thing popping. And this was an episode that doesn't need much of a deep dive. I praised the first two episodes because their ability to wrap up last season. So the first two episodes look like a wrap up of the last season. This one looks like a build up, right? Like they're just setting the table for what's to come for season three. So it wasn't nothing explosive, nothing that we didn't see coming, nothing real left field-ish about this. Some stuff to speculate on, though. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get some speculations in. First and foremost, let's go ahead and like knock out some of the blah. Right? Some of the, what do we really give a shit? For instance, Jukebox. Now, those of you who follow me know that is nothing more annoying than turning on power and just patiently waiting for a motherfucker to start singing. Huh? It's like fucking High School Musical. It's like a goddamn, I don't know what it is, but power, and if one woman on the show, one actress on the show has the tinge of a voice, can hold a note, this motherfucker will be singing all season. They're always putting, she'll hum to herself, she'll sing in the shower, huh? She'll give you a quick 8 bars in the car ride to go pull up on a something. They'll find a way for the woman to sing like an album is dropping. Like, okay, we get it. You can sing. All right? And I know, look, no beef to Juke, because Juke can sing her ass off, but I'm not here for that. Huh? It's the Raising Kanan. It's not 80s Got Talent, motherfucker. I'm not here for it. And hopefully, this episode wraps up all her singing. I'll give her one more motherfucking song. One sad, I could have been fucking a musician. This life could have happened. Now I'm off to the armed forces song. She gets one more motherfucking song. And we shut it off for however many seasons. Your dream should be over after this episode. Why? Let's see. We saw last episode, Juke was coming to grips with her future. She wanted to be a singer. She wanted to have a white girlfriend. These things aren't panning out. These things just aren't happening. She was doing very well boosting. She retired the boosting career. But fuck it, that was short-lived. And now in her trying to just get away from the family, right? I don't know with her grades, I'm still confused why she just ran to the armed forces. Like with Rock's money and how well she's doing in school, I don't see a problem where she just couldn't attend a college out of state and go try to live that lifestyle. She just kind of jumped right in there, whatever, but that's the decision she made. And while it seems like this singing competition that she was in or she signed up for was like her last little, you know what? Before I go ahead and sign these papers to this recruitment office, let me give this singing thing one more time. I got a few things on my side. Huh? Juke feels like she's got a few things. Lulu is drunk, right? Remember before Lulu gave her the speech? You, the juke, your voice is terrific, huh? But your image, what we going for? It's just my girlfriend here. This is what the streets want. Like, can't you just write the music and then we put this face on it? Because, juke, I love you. You know, you're beautiful to me, but what are we doing here? You ain't got it. Got the voice, but ain't got the look. Right? Hard truths. And it's not like she couldn't find a look, but juke, didn't she want to be who she wanted to be? She didn't want to play games for the industry. But anyway, now she's got Lulu drunk as hell, and he don't give a fuck. He's got absolutely nothing going on for himself. He's mad at Rock, so he's semi-unemployed. His fucking girlfriend is dead, who was his number one artist. She's out the picture. The motherfucker that was funding it, Big Black, what the fuck is his name? Cartier, is that his name? Yeah, maybe that's his name. But he at least had his finger on the pulse of the music industry more than Lulu did. That motherfucker's dead, thanks to Rock. So he's got absolutely nothing. So that's something going on in Juke's favor. She's like, okay, Lulu's vulnerable. His girlfriend, who I was competing with, fucking dead. So that's a plus. That works for me. And let's try to cut a record. Oh, what do you know? There's a singing competition, and Marvin, being the supportive father, shows up with her. Lulu, drunk as hell, locked up, overnight prison. We'll get to Lulu, but whatever. Lulu doesn't come through for her, and she sang without her tunes. Like, that was gonna fucking help. Because something tells me in that singing competition, they were looking for more than a voice. They was looking for a whole package. And I don't even know if Juke had her best on. I don't even know if she had her best performance gear. But whatever. So she got a few bars off and they cut that. She was like, all right, thank you. And I was like, yes, thank you. We're fucking done here. So I think once the next episode, the confrontation with Lulu, because it's looming, it's coming. She's going to blame him for why she ain't made it nowhere in the music. Not like they just couldn't cut a record, but she's gonna get in her own way, and I think that's when we're done with the singing industry. So wipe Jukebox right off the board. She's about to just go full military. The military. She's going full military. So that's Juke. Now let's get into Lulu. Still drinking, knocking them back. He loves himself a good club. Marvin is taking Lulu on his Wall Street drug things, like his drug ventures. I don't know if he's just trying to keep Lulu busy, but I don't know if I'd want him as my backup or him rolling with me to this place. Because there's a chance he could embarrass me, and there's a bigger chance that he could fuck up the clientele, like fuck them up physically if he doesn't like, you know, the words coming out their mouth. So that could fuck up the money, but he took a chance. Lulu found himself at a bar, one of many, I'm assuming, that night. Ran by some lady who just looked like she's just here, so she don't get fined. She's like, fuck it, I opened this place, so here's where I'm at. Have a discussion, find out Lulu has a musician for a father. What do you know? That lady knew him. They develop a little bond. And it's looking real, I don't know, like, maybe I'm crazy, but the lady, okay, wait, no, okay, let me chill. So, no, I'm not finna chill, I'm about to, okay, look, so we see Lulu get into that fight, drunk as hell, right, defending rap music. He never even had a rapper in his studio. Camacho was, like, the closest to, like, hip-hop he had in that whole fucking studio, and it's just because of the way he dressed. That motherfucker Lulu is strictly R&B of the 80s. So for him to take this stance for hip-hop, like, I've never even heard him, was he even riding around listening to rap? Like, I just saw that, okay, whatever. But dude, right, that was heckling him, I kind of agreed with. I thought, was it just me? This motherfucker said, boo, can you hippity hop? Can you rappity rap some real music? I was like, touche. Them niggas weren't talking about, look, we got to be real. We got to be real. I'm pretty sure y'all had the instinct of, man, shut that man the fuck up. Yeah, Lulu, punch him in the face. Almost instinctually. But if you rewind and listen to what them niggas was rapping about, none of them got a quotable. It wasn't hitting. So whether he appreciated hip-hop music or just good music or good hip-hop, I don't know. I'm with my mans right there. But Lulu took it offensively and got into a brawl and ended up in prison. Well, prison, Jesus Christ. Ended up in jail, only to get let out the next day, probably for some drunk disorderly. Then this is when things get a little awkward to me. I see what they're doing, but how it was presented was quite nasty. Huh? Lulu has nothing going for him. Absolutely nothing. He wants in on the music industry. So he comes back to apologize to the old white lady for fucking up her bar. She's cool with it. She's like, ah, whatever, fam. It's all good. I run a bar in fucking New York in the 80s. That little scrum you had was absolutely nothing. She's unfazed. And as they get to talking, he finds out that she loves just being there. And he's like, man, I could do a lot with this place. You know, have you thought about, like, young people rapping and coming in here and doing this and maybe your place being the place where they get their stardom? She's like, I don't give a fuck as long as people drinking. Huh? This is an old-ass bar. Whatever, my G. But in that little conversation, she was flirting. And I swear, it felt like she was like, hey, whatever you want. Huh? Chocolate. Whatever you want. I'm the cream for your coffee. That's the energy I was getting. Almost like, look, I had the dad. I'm trying to see what the son do. Now, I could be going a little far. I could be putting unnecessary claims on this woman, but that's the vibe I felt. And it felt like Lulu picked up on it, because did you see how boyish she got? Hands in the pocket, all G-yucks. Yeah, and I was just thinking, maybe we... And she's like, yeah, we could do whatever you want. And he's like, well, shit, set it up. It's looking like... it might be a business relationship, but it very could well be that might be his next thing. Oh, I don't know. Lulu been drinking a lot. And this lady is coming at a very vulnerable time in his life. There was flirting there. And she got access to what he needs. He's got the studio, but no artists. She's got the place with no... She's got the bar with no vision and no people. So he figures, hell, I'll be a party promoter and then scoop to get you some business, and I'll scoop up the really good people, bring them back to my studio. Yeah, the plan sounds cool. So it seems like Lulu is about to get back into it. He's going to find his way back in the music industry. And guess what? Perfect time to do it, because Rock don't give a fuck. Huh? She's staying true to her non-drug dealing. So let's go over to Unique. Unique is wasting no time. He's making moves. He hooked up with... I don't know if I wasn't paying attention. There was some like Asian racism happening. Like, I don't know if dude was Korean that hated Chinese or he was Japanese that hate Chinese. All I know is that I've watched a lot of Bruce Lee movies, and in those movies, the Japanese were not fond of the Chinese. So I'm not going to go ahead and claim what I thought that man was. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say he is of an Asian descent that is not Chinese. But he does have a Chinese wife. I thought that was pretty funny. He's like, man, fuck the Chinese. They take this. They think they better than us. Huh? You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, and then Unique is just sitting there like, but, nigga, why are you doing business with him? Because my wife Chinese, and that's her nephew. Hey, I know my views on him. But, look, she's a good one. She's one of the good ones. So I thought that was pretty funny. It was totally unnecessary. I don't know. It was just a little comedy relief. So it looks like Unique got a plug in a very weird sense. He's giving parameters. I don't know. I don't like this for Unique. I ain't gonna lie to you. The man was running his own shit in New York, then got into it with Rock via her son and his son's friend over some chick who Kanan couldn't even remember the name of. You can't remember her name. It all happened over a woman, this little drug war. Not even a woman, a teenage girl. Brenda had a baby. It was nasty work. That's when I hated Kanan. For real. Oh man, season one. I hated that boy. I was like, what the fuck, nigga? Over a pregnant teenager? That's what you're doing? Hating on another. But yeah, started a whole war over a nobody. But Unique is a man of money, so he looks over all that. But yeah, he had his own shit running smooth until Hurricane Kanan comes. Then he reinvents himself coming out of jail, and he starts setting up shop out in Jersey, trying to do his thing. And then he's like, fuck it, I'll work with Rock. Fuck it, start making money. And then that empire comes to a screeching halt because Rock has like, look, I got mafia shooting at me. I knew I said go to war, but I didn't really mean the shit. I didn't want to take part in it. I'm ready to tap out. Shit got too real. Police, mobs. No, I'm good. Shut down the Carters. So now Unique is unemployed yet again. And now he's got another nigga he's got to tend with, which is Ronnie. So that's in his ear like fucking Macbeth. So here he is, finally gets a break. He got the break by being kidnapped. He would have never met this mafia dude unless he got kidnapped. Comes back with a plan, gets a connect, and I'm like, there we go, Unique. Let's bounce back. Let's get it how we live. But somehow he's got to pitch work out of Chinatown, and that is out of Chinatown. Out the restaurant? And I'm like, why can't they just give this man his drugs and let him go sell it and then they bring the money back? Like, why are we doing all this? Why is it always extra shit? This is the shit that will get Unique jammed up again. And wait till this nigga Unique gotta explain the shit with Ronnie, the new serial killer of fucking power, the new boogeyman. First off, if Ronnie had an issue with Unique working with Rock to make money, he's gonna have a huge fucking issue with him working for an ethnically ambiguous Asian who's telling him to work out of a Chinese restaurant, and he can't go nowhere else. That's where he must sell his work. That's where he must conduct his business, in Chinatown, in that Chinese restaurant. I can't wait till he tells Ronnie about that. Ronnie's gonna lose his shit. But Unique is Unique, and I believe in him, and I think he's going to make it happen. I, for one, am rooting for him in his corner. Him with his, I can see it right now, he got the scales, he got some bricks, he got some Peking duck over there, some duck sauce. He's straight. Something that we hope is a fucking chicken. Questionable meat over there, but fuck it, right? Not here to eat. But anyway, speaking of Ronnie, let's get, Ronnie, they started this episode where Ronnie left off. Buddy talks shit to him, the bouncer gets paid, and Ronnie kills a man in, like, the most brutal fashion, which we all expect. We didn't know how he was going to do it, but we knew it wasn't going to be quick. We knew it wasn't going to be a simple handgun to the side of the dome. Hey, bitch, you remember me? You was talking shit about my outfit. What now, nigga? What now? Bang. That would have been like, it would have been unreasonable, sure. But we would have been like, oh, okay, that's a legitimate kill. But no, Ronnie has to go next level. He has to put my man's head between the fucking door and the fucking little part that I always trip over when I'm trying to get in, little, you know what I'm saying? And ha, ha, several times, turn that nigga shit to mush. So I was like, yep, that's to be expected. Runs his pockets and then has a conversation with a dead nigga. With a dead nigga, like, yep, that's, I was not even, it didn't do nothing for me. I 100% saw that coming. What I didn't see coming was the low level, you know, it's going to sound crazy. I got a lot of problems with just a motherfucker like a Ronnie, right? But the worst thing I've seen this nigga do, the thing that, fuck him smashing the dude's head in for just using words, like being rude to him. Fuck that part. Whatever. Fuck him coming into his brother's house, scaring his girl, eating up all the shit, requesting things with no money. Like, bitch, when you go to the store, make sure you get the Lucky Charms, huh? Like, fuck all that. Fuck him sitting in the dark, spooking out the kids, staring at a blank TV screen. It, whatever. Those things are problems, but they far come short in comparison to my number one. Nigga, you told his girl what? When she get fed up with you, she's like, nigga, where's Neek? Where's he at? And your response is, maybe he got him another bitch. Maybe he's at another bitch's house, knocking that shit out. Huh? Nailing another bitch to the cross. What if? Maybe that's what he's pal driving somebody off the top rope. Maybe that's what he's doing. I was like, you piece of shit. You have crossed the ultimate line. There's dirty macking, and there's just full on assault, cock blocking, and then there's just speculation and snitching and fucking putting shit into another man's woman's head and your brother's woman, of all things. You're trying to fuck up a happy home? Yeah, you might be right. We're not talking about facts and lies. We're talking about morals, my nigga. Fuck the murders you committed. Fuck the fact that you should still be in prison, but a dirty cop did what was necessary to take your domestic terroristic ass off the streets of New York. Huh? Fuck all that. You, Ronnie, crossed the fucking line right there. I was appalled. I was not shooken up about the murders or nothing. That touched me to the core. I couldn't even imagine. Whew. Shivers. That nigga broke. Man, he burnt the man Bible. Lord. And she's like, fuck you, Ronnie. And I said, yeah. Fuck you, Ronnie. Because now guess what's going to happen? Of course Unique is out there getting some ass. And she's going to be like, this nigga Ronnie, put this in my head. Can't get it out of my head. Now I'm on it. And now she's probably going to find out that he's fucking Rock. And she's going to take his son and dip. And thus comes what I told you. I told you it was going to be Unique versus his brother. I thought it was going to be because his brother would have fucked up business. But not just that. I never saw this coming. He's really finna get into a Ronnie. However, something tells me, 1v1, Neek don't want those problems. So he's going to, and he probably is not going to want to kill his brother himself. But yeah, that lets me know Ronnie's got to go expeditiously. So it's about, you know, I don't know. And then you got Ronnie standing outside staring at Kanan while he gets his business off the ground. Salute to Kanan. When I get to him, he came a long way. I got to say, salute to him, and I'm proud of him this episode. Very, very proud. But yeah, we see Ronnie casing the joint. He casing the neighborhood. He's following Unique to Rock's crib, knows where she lays her head, mentioned murdering her. So let's go ahead and keep that thought there. That's fucking terrifying. And then he's just staring across the street, speechless, staring at her son. Houston, we got a problem. Yes, we do. A big fucking scary problem. But yeah, so that's the tale of Ronnie so far. Rock, she's just fucking Unique and trying to give her son some money. She's just trying to, I don't know, she's trying to live a privileged mom lifestyle, but just missing one little thing, the kid. So she's trying to get her kid back and figure out what the fuck he's got going on, because their relationship is strained, to say the least. But yeah, not much from Rock this episode. So nothing I need to really deep dive on. She just need to be on. Oh, the feds. She knows the feds are out there. Yes. Not Burke. What's the detective name? Detective Omar. God damn it. I can't think of his name. But yeah. He's trying to, I don't know, sweet talk Burke's ex-girlfriend and try to get her to fall off the case because he got a lot of feds around trying to quiet that without having to have her harm herself. And then he's warning Rock to, look, I know you say you done, but the feds is watching. They own bullshit. Make sure you get your son together, our son together. So Rock is just trying to really move cautiously now she know the feds is in town, so she ain't really, she's sitting on her hands right now. But who ain't, though? Kanan is getting to work. Kanan is getting to work. The boy done set up, he done negotiated a deal with the weed man that didn't include Famous, which it should never include Famous. Famous is happily taking money from Mom still, wants to go back home to his mother, don't want none of this street lifestyle. But Kane is like, fuck that nigga, we in it. And why am I proud of Kane in this episode? It's because he finally checked Famous. It was no more that buddy-buddy giggling frustration with Famous and him fucking up. Now he's like, look, nigga, you take money from my mama again? And you want to do what? We're doing this business. He is done with Famous's bullshit. He shut him up, and Famous don't want no smoke. I loved it. So he got his budding weed business off the ground, and they making money. First episode, so he bringing it in. Don't need my mama's money. And then you just keep Famous indoors on the phone dealing with a beeper. Fucking perfect gig. So Kanan's only issue seems going to come from Ronnie for sure. But when Rock finds out, she'll probably put a little hitch in his plans, but whatever. But yes, Kanan came a long way. And he's sounding more and more like 50. I swear. I just was like, is that 50 for a second? Like, he's got the mumbled, I got shot in my mouth talk down perfect. Only thing is, 50 only talked like that because he got shot in the mouth. So I don't know why Kanan's making this voice. But you know what? That's me being very picky. Me unnecessarily so. And to wrap this thing up, the arc of Marvin. Whip Master, yeah, I'm talking to you. How dare you get in my comments talking about, oh, you know, I love Marvin too. That's Cap. You don't love Marvin. He's not your favorite character because you wouldn't say this blasphemous shit. He's out here. You want me to tell you what Whip Master's talking about? Go to my last episode, scroll down to the comments, see what this motherfucker told me. He's got Marvin dying for no reason. Something about, I don't even know what you was talking about, Whipmaster. I was reading, I was following, then I saw Marvin's death, and I tapped out. I'm done with you. Don't put that evil on him, Ricky Bobby. Like, come on. He is killing shit right now. Like, Marvin, while everybody's storyline may be like having this ebbs and flows, like, Marvin's is just a nice, smooth trajectory up, up, and up. I am more and more interested in everything Marvin does. Everything. Like, the character development of him is crazy. It's crazy. Man, it's not even raising Marvin. It's raising Kanan. He's got his own shit going on, but Marvin's is the more interesting. If you go back to season one, Marvin versus this one. Season one, Marvin did not like white folks. All about shooting and bullying. Straight enforcer work. No thought. He didn't think at all. He had to be told specifically what to do and couldn't be trusted with that. Then he finds out that his daughter's gay. He flips out on her, fucking loses her, and then somehow has to go to, like, anger management, met some people. He's been woo-signed, and a totally new dude. So much so, he's had, did you see this episode? Marvin was in his kitchen talking to his daughter's deceased girlfriend's father. They were like chopping it up like they were buddy-buddy, like they played golf together. He was on some man shit, like regular man shit. I was like, this is such a proud moment. He He's over there kicking with him, like, ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and the videotape, and it's just a couple of dads dadding out from two opposite ends of the world. And Marvin was just like, I was blown away. Then Marvin gets what his sponsor, Peter, fucked up with some junkies. Old Marvin came in, killed them two junkies, maybe left a witness or had to explain to Peter why he had to kill him, and then got to worry about dude doing something. No, he just paid that man the money, got his boy, and now he's rescuing. He's rescuing people at the bottom. He's supporting his daughter. He waiting in that long-ass line. And then when Lulu don't show up, he's encouraging her like, you the shit. You got this. I don't know. Marvin is fucking, I don't know. It's so good. His storyline and his arc is so fucking good. It's like outshining everybody at this point. And last season, I had Rock being like the best actor on the show. But this one, Marvin looked like he about to run away with this one. And if they kill Marvin, I'm going to be sick as fuck. I don't know what I'm doing myself. I'd rather Lou die and like Marvin goes to jail or something. Or maybe pack up his shit and go somewhere else. Have a life somewhere away from the street. Let's have a happy ending for Marvin. Ain't going to happen probably, but. It, Lord, wouldn't it be nice? He's already on that path. He's got his own business going now. He's dealing with higher clientele. He ain't on no street shit. He just, it's so good. But yeah, man, that's all I got this episode. Be on the lookout all week for more content. If you want to support the show financially, go ahead, look down there, and start ordering some shit. Huh? Oh, you want to wait till you get your Christmas money from your grandma? Fuck it. I'll wait. Go ahead. But soon as she sends you that check, huh, that $60 check, you make sure you cash that motherfucker, you get under there, and you buy some shit. That's if you want to support financially. But if you just trying to hold me down, hit the sub. I'll take a fucking subscription. Hell, I'll take a like. And if we ain't getting too fancy, if I ain't doing too much for you, you can share this motherfucker. That'd be great. I'm a simple man. I'm a basic bitch, people. It don't take much. Huh? Hold your boy down. And with that, man, protect your health, yourself, your wealth. Man, your boy Rose out of here. Peace.
Yo, I know I don't need no introduction, but y'all know who it is, man. It's your boy Hollywood Rail. And I appreciate you for sliding through and watching these videos. But you know what I need from you? Alright, if you ain't already, I need you to like this and subscribe this, man. We at 1,000 trying to get to 2, alright? Push it for your boy. Get them algorithms up. So when it come to that subscribe button.